This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, brought to you by PointsBet. Download the PointsBet app today. Gamble responsibly.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
One more show. You need to bugger off back to being an adult.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I can really stuff it up tomorrow. Yeah, okay.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
I feel good.
Friday, you feel good. Brad Haddin to join us. Talk about the World Cup coming up. He's just been playing cricket in India. A nice week in review on the back of the top flight, doing some of her sharpest work.
Yeah.
We play Bill's finest joke ever, and that's not saying much. We get some nice feedback from Rosie Walton. Also speak to Damien Barrett shortly about what the hell's going on at St Kilda. But this show's, it's a five-header at the minute. You've got top flight, of course, myself, Rabsy, Fad in Fiji, and Mickey Roberts down there in Merricks with some weather for us. What's happening out there, Robbo?
Oh, it's still pissing rain.
Well, it actually isn't at the moment, but it was
ten minutes ago. 10 minutes ago it was pissing more than it pissed yesterday.
It's pissing down there.
Robbo, I'm not sure it is.
Pissing down.
It might be in Merricks, but it's not here. As I say hello to you, the top flight.
Hello, the top flight. Lovely to be here for my last day.
Last day.
And as I said yesterday, I'm going to really stuff it up.
I'm going to go out with a bang.
I'm going to go out with a real bang.
I like it. Yeah. And hello to you, Rabbits. Bartholomew.
Hi, my name's Liz. I'm a mum of three, and I once brushed my teeth with deep heat.
No. Oh. Now, time for a rappy.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
I start with a nice little rappy. You're going to have to do that.
I think I can handle the rappy, whatever that is.
It's the All Sports Report. Don't risk missing all your team's matches at the T20 World Cup on KO Sports.
Australia versus England on KO tonight too, by the way.
St Kilda re-signed Brett Ratten in July and have now sacked him.
I can't believe this.
No, I can't either. So we're going to get to that with Damo in just a second, so we won't gobble up too much of that here.
Who would have thought?
But Jay-Z Clark, our man, says that Ross Lyon is open to a discussion. Return to St Kilda.
I'm not sure about returns.
Ross the boss.
I like Ross, but I don't like returns.
All right, we'll get to that in just a moment. Riley Collier-Dawkins and Jake Arts have been shown the door at Richmond, joining Sydney Stack and Will Martin. All four
Sydney
of them
Stack.
Played this year.
Yeah.
Sydney Stack was a star.
So it's not like they're list cloggers, these four. But they are out. Sam Mitchell has declared the departures of Jack Gunston, Jager O'Meara and Tom Mitchell will help fast-track the club's plans to secure a 14th premiership.
You're worried about this, aren't
they
you?
They look very skinny in the middle of the ground to me, Hawthorn. They only need to get a couple of injuries, and they're in all sorts. Now, I love this. Our man Chris Judd. I think we've got something here for him.
C. Judd, three votes.
He is a Hall of Famer.
God, what hasn't he won in the footy world?
Sport Australia Hall of Fame. Nine new inductees. Catherine Cox, who we used to speak to.
I love Catherine Cox, netballer. Yeah,
yep, Brad Fittler on the roof from Montbelluge. Tanya Harding of Cara Honeychurch.
Not Tanya Harding, the ice skater who whacked the other girl.
Different one, top flight. Adrian Hurley from basketball. Carrie Webb, the legend.
I love
Mark Webber, of course. All joined Chris Judd as Hall of Famers and richly deserved, all of them, but we...
C. Judd, three votes.
We sort of focus more on Juddy.
Yeah, I love Juddy.
Two-time Brownlow medalist, one time deserved and the other time he couldn't believe it
himself.
He sold it off Swanee.
Yep.
He just fell in.
He's won it all, hasn't he?
He has. And what a superstar player he was. He used to go straight out the front of stoppage, which is what I loved about him, and a very good man. So well done to him. What have you got there?
I've got the Caulfield Cup. Right. Everyone's forgotten about the Caulfield Cup.
Yes.
Well, I had. It's on tomorrow.
The track will be dead.
Well, they've had 55 millimetres of rain.
Holy hell.
So it's going to be what they call a heavy track, top flight. Not wet, heavy.
Who wins it?
Heavy. Well, Kay Waterhouse is absolutely sure her horse, Knight's Order, will win her first first one since 2010. All I can say to the ladies going tomorrow is do not wear a heel.
No.
Because it is going to be absolute mayhem out there. It'll be so wet. And I'd like to see the return of the hat.
Right.
I'm sick of the fascinator.
Yeah, you don't like it. You've never liked a fascinator.
I never have, and I think a hat makes you look better because you can don't have to do your hair. I'm real all for hats, and it could piss down again tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll get Robbo out, see if he's out there at Caulfield. What's it looking like out there, Robbo?
Oh, it's still pissing rain.
No, well, so the top.
I told you. It's good advice. The hat will keep your hair dry.
I know.
Hey, Top, like, what about this? The people that needed their congratulations here are the volunteers, because a whole lot of volunteers were happy to put coconuts on their head.
No.
While a martial artist from India broke a Guinness World Record by using nunchuckers to smash 42 coconuts in 1 minute.
Jeez.
If you get a chance, look at the vision, because these guys are sitting there with coconuts on their head, and he's literally on the and they've got complete faith, then they come around again, do it twice.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Great story.
No, I love it. Well, that is a great story. Damien Barrett's got big stories coming up next, because I cannot believe what's going on, actually.
Crazy. I was watching TV, 10:30 p.m. Look at Twitter.
I know.
Brett Ratton sacked.
I know.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I don't understand how you do that.
You get paid for it. Oh.
And the footy world, well, just went crazy again last night, JB.
Unbelievable. Have we got an opener for the purple-headed warrior, the best? This man's the best newsbreaker in the game, and has been now for a long time. Damo, welcome to you.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bridge.
I put it to you, and it's a sign of my own age, and you're not far behind me, Damo. I reckon I've been involved in covering football for the best part of 30 years, and you're not far off that. And we've all seen footy clubs in that time badly administered. Mm. But I think the last 2 weeks may just top anything I've experienced.
It's at least the best Quinella inside 2 or 3 weeks we've seen, Jim, over that 30 years. I would agree.
I mean, the debacle at Essendon, where you sack your CEO within 24 hours or the best part thereof.
Yep.
And now you've got what's happened at St Kilda, where they renewed Brett Ratton in July.
Mm.
And then the bloke who renewed him sacks him within 3 months. What is going on?
Yeah, and if you want to go one step further of that line too, the bloke who did renew him has been elevated from the football operations boss to the CEO, that being Simon Lefleen, in that whole sort of movement and change in football club itself.
So, Damo, I'm a Lefleen fan.
Yeah,
but when you move from head of footy to the CEO role, then you do a review of the department you ran, and then sack the bloke that you renewed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's close to comical.
No, well, it is comical, and to hear the explanations today offered by Simon Lefleen and Andrew Bassett, the president of the footy club, to say, in fact, what I will do, Jim, let's listen to some of what they did say, because it's up there with David Barham for how not to handle a media moment today.
The clinching argument to this gentleman's recommendation was to re-sign the coach was around, we want to give him every chance to be the best, to show he can be our long-term coach, give our side every chance we could to make the finals. And if we ended up at the end of the year making a different decision, we'll cop the payout. And I think that was a humane decision rather than necessarily a terrible decision.
So humane decision, they're now sort of patting themselves on the back for making in renewing the contract less than 100 days ago as they did. And even hearing Andrew Bassett attempt to explain the decision being made on or about Monday of this week and him then going to Brett Ratton saying, listen, this is where it's headed, but I want you to tell me why we shouldn't make this decision. And then that went through all the way through until last night where Brett Ratton sat outside the boardroom there at Moorabbin waiting for the decision to be made, having pleaded his case all week. I mean, it's a sign of a club that is second-guessing itself even as it makes what is a tough call. Mm.
It's disgusting. And as a St Kilda supporter, I'm completely disgusted in the treatment of Brett Ratton. But what I want to know, Damo, from you is what possibly could have come up in that review that made them make this? Because they must have known it was going to cop some flack.
Well, given that Bassett was part of himself, given that Lefleen was reviewing himself effectively, having been head of football, so there's two people who've known what's been going on there. They bring in David Noble, and I've been told the charter that David Noble got was to not worry about Brett Ratton, just look at the club's workings in footy, and that was his input to it. Jason Blake was the other person on the review committee, and he's off the board, the business side of it. So I don't know, Bridge, to answer your question, and the timing of it. I mean, they could have done it in July. They could have done it, they certainly could have done it before the trade period when they were trying to woo a Jordan Degoe across from Collingwood, and by all reports went relatively close to getting him, and how that would have looked had they then landed him and then made his decision on Brett Ratten too. And again, Bassett couldn't answer that question when that was put to him. Had they got Degoe, would that have meant this, you know, outcome for Brett Ratten?
Purple, the timing is the bit that I find astounding. We're in the car on the way home from a restaurant last night, and I'm flicking through social media, and there it is. Yep. Brett Ratten expected to be sacked. And Lisa's sitting next to me, and she said the same thing. She said, what, now?
Yeah.
Like, how are you sacking your coach now? And I couldn't answer her.
Look, there'll be some people hoping that this follows the same path as happened at the Bulldogs. 2014, it was about this time when Luke Beveridge was appointed, give or take a couple of days. So what I'm saying there is it was outside the trade period, and I think it might have even been beyond the draft or about the draft time. So he got the Bulldogs, who were stricken then, back into the finals the very next year. Now, I don't think that's going to happen in St Kilda, but I'm just saying that will be part of what they're thinking. It can be turned around. But, I mean, I understand today they wanted to distance the decision to remove Ratten from what they do next. And I get that from a public positioning point of view, but I would have had more clarity and probably more respect for the decision made had they said, look, we have got a person and we will announce that person at the same motion and the same time. But, well, look, I take them at their word. They haven't approached anyone. I mean, I don't know why I take football clubs at their words, because the same club told me when they announced the review that this wasn't a review into Brett Ratten. I mean, Simon Lefleen said that at the time. And here we are at the end of the review. Well, it was about Ratten, and we've sacked Ratten. So when they say they haven't spoken to anyone, we have to take him in their word until we know otherwise. But look, Lorraine Ross Lyon is there, and people like, and they're connected to Triple M people, Nick Revolt, Joey Montagna, they love Ross Lyon, and they are regularly asked for their opinions. And I don't claim to know they've thrown that name up again today, but I know that Andrew Bassett knows there's that sort of back sort of feeling that Ross could be the person to come back.
Well, who else is there? Because I don't mean to be mean, but as a St Kilda supporter, I don't want one of the ones that missed out on their other two jobs.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got to get it right this time.
I really hope, Bridge, too, that they don't go for this inverted commas process, because Essendon didn't run a process. They got Brad Scott, and unfortunately Adam Uzay was forced to run through the process. James Third was forced to go through the process, knowing deep down that they weren't going to get it if Brad Scott or someone they identified wanted it. And I feel for Adam Uzay, and to that point, Bridge, yeah, if they dare tell us tomorrow or Sunday or Monday that they're going to go through a, quote, process, I'll roll my eyes again, because they can't make this decision at this late stage and then bother to go down through a proper process. I reckon they would have been better off identifying the person and just giving him the job.
Ross Lyon is that a proven, very good AFL coach.
Yep.
So if that's what you're looking for, I wouldn't blame them at all for ringing him and saying, if you've got interest, let's sit down and talk, because he has done a very good job.
There are some people, Jim, and we all know Ross, and we love Ross, and I hope he gets the job, because I think he's lost to the game. But he did, I mean, he chose to, for the reasons that were very sound at the time, leave St Kilda, walk out of St Kilda, you know, 10 years ago. So, I mean, that lingers in people's minds, and it won't be a resounding success in terms of the sell on that aspect of it. But I agree, and I would like to see him, for what it's worth, back in the system next year, and I think he's up to his eyeballs in that possibility now.
But what annoys me is, had they done this properly, we could have had a Brad Scott.
Yeah,
true. It's just out. I'm so furious with them.
Have a listen to it.
Also, too, when they decided to recontract Brett Ratten in that early stage of the year, Alistair Clarkson hadn't been approached by North Melbourne. So, I mean, you had the market to yourself if indeed you were going to have the bravery to make the call then, which ultimately they should have, given they had the bravery, in inverted commas, to make it officially yesterday.
Well, it proves something we've been saying, Purple, for a long time, and that is that very good AFL football coaches are thin on the ground.
Yeah.
So if you got one, why the hell you'd march him out the door, I don't understand. Feel for Brett Ratten. He's a very good man. What's coming up with you as we let you go? Some downtime after the trade period for you, Purple?
There will be, Jim. I'll be still hanging around for a little bit longer, and we might be delving a bit closer into that Hawthorn situation, which just will not go away from a logistics point of view. And as we know, it's already impacting two other footy clubs. And I still can't see a way where anyone gets the result and the answer and the outcome that's favourable to all parties.
Right. There is poor a set of parameters around a review as I've seen for a very long time, and I know there's something coming there our way on that from you too. All right, good chatting to you.
Done. Thanks, guys.
See well you, Damo. Done.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
A budding genius and a blooming idiot.
And guess which one I am.
Brad had a not too far away to preview the T20 World Cup.
Give yourself a pat on the back.
Time to do Friday Brag out as fat.
Just tell us the amazing thing you've done this week.
I have just made my 50th blood and plasma donation.
I finally finished my landscape apprenticeship after 7 long years, but it should only take me 4.
You're unbelievable.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's the Friday Brag Artist.
All right, you know how this works, Top Flight. Yeah. If you've done something extraordinary in the last week, ring and tell us 133353.
I am that thrilled with myself. I can't tell
you. What have you done?
My fridge, which is fairly new, broke down this week. It went. The light went off, which meant I had to take all the food out, you know, the Top Flight, and empty the freezer and put it down in a tiny little one downstairs. Anyway, I was thinking, trying to find a man to come and fix it. I ring a man. Then I thought, no, I'll have a little bit of a fiddle and a poke myself. I fixed the fridge.
You fixed your own fridge.
Yep.
Wow.
Guess how? I plugged it in again.
That's all you did. You pulled the plug out and then you put it back in again.
The plug had been knocked out because I'd pushed something in and the plug had come out. And I found that out myself.
So there was nothing wrong with the fridge.
I fixed it.
Right.
Thank you.
You
play that again, unbelievable, if you like, Air Raps.
You can if you want. Yeah. I have worked with you for a week. And that's what
enough.
That's what I'm bragging about. Well, I'll tell you why.
What's surviving?
Well, I'll tell you why. Look at what I'm wearing now. I've had to wear like a puffer vest thing to keep myself warm because your stupid hormones or whatever the hell you got wrong with you means that our studio here has either gone from being like an igloo to being an oven.
Now, be fair to say.
Back to being an igloo, back to being an oven, back to being an igloo.
Fair to say my temperature control's not at its best.
It's not at its best.
Not at its best, the Top Flight. I think you'll find it's a little thing called menopause.
Well, what the hell are you going on with?
Well, don't worry, you'll never have to deal with it.
I won't.
It's not fun. And, you know, this week I went on a diet and I've put on a kilo.
You have.
That's what happens. And I'm not bragging about that.
So it's either freezing cold in here, Abs, or stinking hot because of you.
All right.
And we've all managed to put up with it.
All right, good on
what
you.
Are we giving away, please, Rabbits?
A double pass to Haney versus George Kambosos Jr. this Sunday. Witness the rematch. Rod Laver Arena. Head to Ticket Tech for tickets now.
All right, 133353. What have you done that's extraordinary this week? Ring us now. Those massive prizes are on the line.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I want to laugh with him, but I can only laugh at him.
It's Friday Brag Artist time,
we
JB.
We got Fat back Monday. I'm not happy about that. I don't know where he's at, Fat.
I think you've missed him.
No.
I think you've missed
not
him.
Not a bit. 133353, Brag Artist time. Gav's on the line from Corowa. Hello, Gav.
How you going?
Very well, Gav. What have you done with yourself that's made you a brag artist?
28 years in one job. Called it quits. Started my new job Monday. On the fifth day, I'm running the plant.
Hey! What are you doing, mate?
I'm a turd herder.
A turd herder? What do they do?
They waste water, sewage.
And you're running the plant after 4 days.
Yep.
That's bloody good, Gav. Stay on the line like that. Lee in Greenvale, the Top Flight.
Yeah, Lee, hello. What have you done to brag about?
Yesterday, me and my partner, Aaron, went to get the ultrasound done on our firstborn child.
Oh, how exciting. And they can do all sorts of things now, those ultrasounds. You can see them, like, waving, can't you?
Yeah, it's at the point that it's still just a little, like, looks like a tadpole.
Oh, that's awesome. Number one.
Yeah, that is exciting.
First one ever.
Well, I look at my bloody 28-year-old, speaking about turd herding. Honestly.
Proud father.
28. And he's in no state. He presents to society like a clownfish.
So don't say this to Lee, who's excited about having a child.
I hope you have a better result. Lee, playful?
Yep, I'm here.
Good.
Don't listen to a word he says,
I hope
Lee.
You have a better result.
Congratulations on the ultrasound.
Thank you very
Jonathan.
Much,
top right, flight. It's changed since our day. The top, you can see everything now.
Really?
You can literally see everything.
Right
you can see if they're going to be good looking.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Russ is in Cranbourne. Hello, Russ.
Hey, g'day. How are you going, guys?
All right. Now, what are you bragging about, please?
I've got an invitation to the Governor General's house to receive a bravery award.
Oh. You're so unbelievable.
Who did you save, Russ? What did you do to win a bravery award?
I was my next door neighbour, heard a scream, jumped the fence, took on two home invaders. And,
Oh, wow.
Well done.
Wouldn't mind living next to her.
For a little bit.
That's bloody good, Russ. So that you go and see, she's lovely too. She's Essendon supporter. Mm. Used to be on the AFL commission.
Oh, yes.
What's her name, Tough Life? Linda Desso.
Linda Desso, she's a lovely lady, Russ. So you will love receiving that from her.
Congratulations, too.
No worries, thank you.
Stay there. I like that. That's bloody good. That's sort of what I would do.
I'm not sure you would.
Melton. Hello, Troyza. Troyza.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Good, Troy. What did you do? Did you save anyone's life?
No, I'll just ring up to brag about my 17-year-old daughter who has just registered her own business.
Whoa. You're unbelievable. Yeah. What's the business?
She's going to be starting her own hair and beauty kind of makeup and stuff like that.
Good on her. Perfect. It's 16.
Good name.
Yeah. Oh, just like losing Troy there, but that's bloody good.
Yeah, she'll be a success, Top Flight.
I like that. Stay on the line. That's good. Sharon in Warragul.
New York. New York.
Where are you there, Shaz?
It's in New York.
New York.
Yeah, do you know where Noogee is or Mount Baw-baw?
Yeah, north of Warragul.
Bloody oath.
Yeah, it's out in the middle of nowhere.
All right. Lovely. What are you bragging about, Shaz?
Well, during the week I hosted the Big Blue Table for Beyond Blue Mental Health, and I've never done anything like that before. I hosted at work, and we only got about 20 in because it was during the week, but I managed to raise, well, at the moment, it's gone over $800. Wow. You're
unbelievable. That's good.
That is amazing, and every bit will help, so good on you.
Absolutely. I think it's a great cause.
It is a great cause. Bloody oath it is.
Everybody knows somebody.
Yep. Stay there. Adrian in Langwarrin. Ado.
Yeah, g'day, Jim. Top Flight, how are we going?
Very well, Adrian. What have you done to brag about?
Well, Jim might like this. Last Sunday, I made my return to the cricket field in some over 40s for the first time in 6 years. But my brag is that today, I've finally walked properly for the first time since last Sunday.
No. You're so unbelievable. I know. I played a game 2 years ago, I reckon it was, with my son, and it was the first time in 15 years I'd played cricket.
Which bit does it hurt?
Oh, everything.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
You can't believe it. And all I did was walk around, didn't bowl, and batted not for long. And I'm with you, Ado. I seriously could not walk properly for a week.
Are you going to keep going, Ado?
Yeah, fortunately, it's only every fortnight, so we get a nice period to recover.
Time to recover.
Oh, man. Stay there. Like that. Luke good. In Essendon. Hello, Lucas.
How are you guys?
Very well, Luke. You're our last caller. What are you going to brag about?
Oh, geez, I hope it's good.
no pressure.
Last weekend, we had a big party at our joint, and I set up one of those big Bunnings marquees.
Oh, nice.
And after letting it sit there for 3 or 4 days before this big rain came, I thought I'd better pack it up, put the whole thing back in the box the way it came.
Oh, don't. You're so
unbelievable. No. See, I don't actually believe that.
Well.
Well, no poll. I didn't get polled in, but I got everything else.
That's a no-brainer. Luke wins for me because I've never
put it. You're not going to get the polls.
I've never put anything back in a box the way it came out, ever.
That's good. Well, what does Luke win, please?
Can he win something?
Yeah, witness the rematch. Undisputed world champ Devin Haney fights Aussie George Kambosos Jr. this Sunday. Rod Laver Arena. Head to Tigger Tech for tickets now. He has got a double pass to that massive boxing match.
Your ex-husband, Tomo, he does that for a living. Like those huge bloody September clubs and bird cages.
He's never bought one home in a box.
When I say he does that, he gets people to do that.
He got one for our wedding.
Yeah, he doesn't actually do any of it himself.
We've also got a double pass to the Animoca Brands Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix to give away this weekend at Phillip Island.
If he's listening, by the way, he's never done any of that. He used to get Chappie and everything into doing it. So who else do you like there?
I like them all. Do you know what, though? I think I'm going to give it to Gavin because I reckon after 28 years in one job to be able to turn around a new job and become get a promotion. Gav, good on you.
I like that. Well done, Gav.
Thanks, mate. Thanks,
coming your way. And Russ gets something too. He's going to bloody government house after jumping the fence and helping his neighbour.
I forgot about Russ. Sorry, Russ. You get something too.
Triple M prize pack headed to Russ.
Yeah, beautiful prize pack. Yep. Well, that's right.
Nice. Helping of brag artist.
Yeah. Good,
jeez,
thanks.
That's bloody good. Rosie's coming in next with some feedback.
Oh, it'll be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be complimentary.
You got more facts for us too?
I've got some amazing facts today.
It'll be complimentary, that feedback about me.
Pretty sure it's mostly about me.
Yes.
Oh, there he is.
He's back from Fiji. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Crocs are back.
They've always been.
They say they're back.
Rolling blades.
Rolling Blades.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bit of feedback from Hose Mary.
Yeah.
It's social media feedback.
Be more constructive with your feedback, please.
With
Aussie Super Mole
Rosie Walton.
Yes.
What's the feedback been like, Hose?
It's been excellent, and people have been loving the reunion, almost cage style, between Bridget Duclos and James Brayshaw.
That has been a nice reunion, hasn't it, the Top Flight? We haven't worked together for a
long time.
Yeah. I did see one message from somebody going, can't you get Bridge, JB, Fitzy, and the other bloke to get back together?
No. It was fun. Thank you. That's a nice bit of feedback.
We will hear some of your fine work from this week later in the show.
It'll be quite long.
Definitely, we need to carve a lot of time out for it. So there was one video in particular that has gone great guns. It's where you were a little bit potty mouth.
Oh, that this was week. Early too. Yes. That was actually day one. And then early. I grew up after that. I got nervous and I said the rude word and I'm not
Don't
proud
worry.
Of it.
Family, new and old, not loved proud. It. David Reynolds put, I reckon, 8 laughing emojis.
Yes.
He's loose as, so that's why he would love it.
That's our V8 supercar driving friend.
Sorry. Gaming Ninja 51 wrote, I would love to know what she actually said. Billy needs to take notes.
Yes.
Well, we can't tell you what she said.
I didn't know I knew the word.
That's
I didn't
true.
Know I knew it. It just but popped out like I've. Yeah.
People are really loving the reunion and having you back. It's
thank
been lovely.
You, Rosie. Thank
James,
you.
I need to turn the attention to you.
Yes,
no.
Good.
When was the last time you were on a tram?
No, I don't reckon I have. Oh, once with Shane Crawford.
That's the last time. What was that for? A footy show thing?
No, it wasn't. We were coming back from the races and got on and off about 7 times without paying. No. Which I didn't realise at the time was illegal.
You didn't even
you
know
had to pay for the tram.
No, we didn't pay. And I'm thinking,
but you didn't know you had to pay.
I didn't know I had to until later.
No.
Okay.
Well, so that was, and that's like 10, 20 years ago.
Well, between then and now, you've also been on a restaurant tram. Do you remember, Bridge?
Oh, that is true. Yes, we did that.
A photo of you on the restaurant tram and a photo of you on the restaurant tram drinking.
Right. We did. That was like, a cage promotion
and
thing
you know
too,
that
wasn't
tram's
it?
Valentine's gone. Day. It's disappeared that. The tram. Is that a COVID thing, Hosemary?
I think it was pre-COVID, so they had to sort of shut
well,
it down.
Well, we went on that tram and it was the skinniest little thing I've ever known. But it was fun, wasn't it?
It was fun. And the food was bloody nice.
Yeah, it was really good.
And speaking of the cage, still to this day, I don't know what year you actually did this, but you were global and trending before you were global and trending, before global and trending was an actual thing.
Oh, come on.
There was a joke that we used to tell, what was it, the internet joke?
Internet joke, that is true. That's a segment we used to do.
Once a week or something on the cage.
Which was quite weird because there were about 5 comedians on that show.
Yeah, but you were the funny one.
You do tell a joke. You tell a joke very well and comedians don't like telling other people's jokes.
Yeah, that's true.
Very true.
They like their own material.
But even until last night, are we getting messages about a particular joke that you told? Really? Titcher Rooney has asked for whether we can talk about, 2005 he's saying, when it went to air originally.
Oh, I don't know if it's censorship, I'd be worried about
it. This is about a painting. Let's have it, Rabs.
A couple attending an art exhibition at the National Gallery were staring at a portrait that had them totally confused. The painting depicted 3 black men totally naked sitting on a park bench. Mm. 2 of the black men, Parko, had black penises,
right.
But the one seated in the middle had a pink penis.
A pink?
Pink penis. Mm. The curator of the gallery realised the confused couple were having trouble interpreting the painting and offered his assessment. He went on and on for nearly half an hour, explaining, Pete, how it depicted the sexual emasculation of African Americans in a predominantly white patriarchal society. In fact, he pointed out, some serious critics believe that the pink penis reflects the cultural and social oppression expressed by gay men in a contemporary society. After the curator left, a Scotsman approached the couple and said, would you like to know what that painting's really about? The couple said, how would you claim to know more about that painting than the curator of the gallery? Because I'm the guy who painted it, he replied. In fact, there's no African-American representation at all. They're just 3 Scottish coal miners and the guy in the middle went home for lunch.
What's that?
That was parceled up as a email and obviously went everywhere because I had mates working in London who said it to me saying, this sounds a lot like you. Like that, no.
You went viral.
Without before knowing, was yeah, it? Yeah, no idea. And
that was actually a very good joke.
Yeah, well, it wasn't mine. Good remember, we used, they used to get no, sent to us everywhere. I wish I could claim but it was reckon, mine, but it wasn't.
I reckon you've got to play Bill that. It might give him a few ideas on how to tell a good joke.
Correct.
Well done, host. Yeah,
thank nice you, Bridgie. It's been yes lovely working
thank
with you.
Thank you. You too, darling. Thank
see you
you
soon.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You must be embarrassed when you look back at that.
Not at all. I look in the mirror and I say, good on you, fat.
Oh, the amazing facts. These have been a hit this week. I've been telling you stuff you don't know.
Yes.
And I think I've wooed the room.
Well, like my favourite was Kim Kardashian.
Ah.
If she ever got into a coma, someone was paid to make her up.
Yep. She'd rather be made up yep than anything else, as yep long as she's made up. Yeah, that was a good one.
I didn't mind the moves, the different moves yeah from around thought, the country. Yeah, that was good thought, and authentic.
Yeah, I thought that, I thought that was a highlight.
That was attempted
too
craft.
Well, there's not much craft in here today. There's right just some really good facts.
Okay.
And did you know, the top five, that vending machines, and I know you spend a lot of time at Diet Coke. I see you at the vending yes machine. Vending machines are a bigger threat to humanity than sharks.
No way.
Absolutely true. You're twice as likely to be killed by a vending machine how as you are by a shark like this. It crashes onto the top
what,
plate.
You know, a vending machine landing on top of you.
Have you ever shaken? Have you ever, when you've put your money in and
it hasn't twisted
and
out
it hasn't oh twisted
yeah
around
yeah,
and you're starving, you're going to cry. Yeah. So you start doing this yeah and shaking.
And then
shaking,
lands on top of you.
Lands on top of
and
you.
And kills you.
And kills you.
I'd rather be killed by a vending machine than a shark.
Would you?
Yep.
Not sure.
What, you'd rather get eaten
well, what,
by a shark?
What's upsetting about it is sharks, when they kill someone, people go out and hunt them. No one's hunting vending machines.
No, that's true. They? That's true.
That was a fascinating
unless
fact
you really so need a Twix or something,
beware
you might hunt one down.
You do want a Twix.
Cheezel.
Did you know that, here's the noise, that oh, no, kangaroos can't walk backwards?
I did know that.
You
neither
did
can emus.
Did you?
That's why on our coat of arms, the two animals are so precious because they never take a backward step.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm telling you the facts. All right, I bet you didn't know this one.
Oh, go on then.
Did you know that cows can walk upstairs but not downstairs?
As in a moo cow?
Yep.
No, oh, I did not
they
know
can
that
go upstairs if you want to invite one in, but they cannot get back
cannot
down.
Go downstairs.
No, cannot. Cows cannot walk oh downstairs.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
How would someone find
yeah
that
yeah
out?
Exactly.
By the way.
Because yep there's some mad guy in every with every fact yeah trying yep it out. Dolphins, we talked about them.
Yeah,
before
you. I you
told
love
you
dolphins.
I told you yesterday that they sleep with one eye open. I found out more about them because I'm quite fascinated. I think I've got a bit of dolphin in me.
Do you?
They're right-handed, the top flight.
Well, they don't have any hands.
Well, right-flippered.
No.
they are. No. Most dolphins are right-handed, right-flippered.
Right-flippered.
They when they go but to get food.
They don't even have a
top like flight. They're right.
I don't think they've got anything that's one or the other.
They don't dress to the left top line.
No.
That's all I'm saying. And the other thing about dolphins, yes, which I think is fascinating, mm-hmm, is they can recognise themselves in a mirror.
What?
Yep. They're actually vain.
How?
They can look in a mirror and go, that's me.
In the ocean, there aren't any mirrors.
There's some mirrors.
Oh, they are. I'm calling bull twang on both of those
top
dolphin
line
ones.
These are all real facts that I found, which I'm sharing with you.
Right.
And the last one
right
is one I just would like to put into practice.
Mm-hmm.
But first I want to ask you, if I was to say to you, what's your addiction, like something you wish you could stop doing, what would you say?
Jeez, then now you're asking. Coffee.
All right, stop drinking coffee?
Yep.
Okay. Well, there's a guy who hired a woman at $8 an hour.
Oh, no.
I'd charge more.
Yep.
To slap him in the face every time he tried checking his Facebook because he was so addicted to it. So he literally hired her to come and go every time he went
no
to look
way
at his
belted
Facebook.
Belted him in the face.
Belted him in the face. Yep, every time.
Wow.
$8 an hour. She
Facebook,
was
is that addictable?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, the youth
I've
of today.
Never been on
the
Facebook
youth of today.
What is Facebook?
So
what is
like
it like? What does it do?
What?
Is it like Instagram?
Are you asking me what
surely
Facebook
surely you know
is
what Facebook
you're
is.
You're
I've
not
never
serious
been on Facebook. I'm an Instagram man. I'm global and trending, as Hose pointed out moments ago.
Global.
But I don't have any a Facebook presence.
Really? Well, that's a shame for the world.
You know you're old when.
Yeah. Well, what actually does it do, though? I don't understand.
It does what you find people. Don't
it
you
was
rep
before Instagram. So it was
so
a social,
old
social network.
I'm more current.
It was the first.
And relevant.
Basically, so your mum can check up on you when you're in Europe or something like that.
Anyway, the reason I brought that story up is because I would really like to just help slap you out of your coffee. If that's okay.
Bugger off. Brad Haddon coming in next.
He is.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I'm of the belief that we provide enough eye candy.
The T20 World Cup isn't far away, so we're bringing Brad Haddon in.
All summer, Triple M rocks cricket.
Here we are! That is up into the second tier!
And our next guest is calling things as only he can see them.
Big swing, no ding.
You've definitely got ding after that run out of Steve Smith, Gussie.
Please welcome one of Australia's finest ever wicket keepers, Brad Haddon.
Welcome to you, Hads.
How are you, JB?
I would prefer that to be wicket keeper batsman.
Yeah, that's a very loose term, batsman, though. Very loose term.
400s, 1850s in a very fine 66 test match career, average 33. That's a batsman in my book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was all about moving the game forward, JB, not been out there a long time.
Would you rather have good hands, like wicket-keepery ones, or be a good batsman? What would you rather be known as?
No, you've got to be known as – every purist wants to be known as a wicket-keeping first. Even the great Adam Gilchrist, who was an out-and-out batsman as well, he'd like to be known as a wicket-keeper first.
Mm. So, Hads, on that front, if you're picking an Australian team of all time – who's your keeper?
Oh, mate, straight into it.
It's just come to me out of nowhere, Hads. But it's an interesting question.
Hads is mine.
Yeah, it is. I tell you what, I'd have to go Heels. I thought Heels was just the purest of the game. I loved the work he used to do to the great Shane Warne. So to me, with pure Glubman, Heels was always in my team. Gilly can bat sixer.
Well, I'm about to say, the only thing with that, and I agree with you from a keeping standpoint, is that means that Adam probably doesn't play, and it's pretty hard to leave him out.
Yeah.
Hey, he can be social coordinator.
I know what he is.
Can
exactly.
Can I ask one more wicket-keepery question?
Yes,
would you get in the Australian team if you're a really good wicket-keeper but completely and utterly useless with the bat?
Not these days.
No.
Nah, not these days. Yeah. I think all wicket-keepers... over the period of time were pretty much the same with the bat. It's just Gilly, if I'm honest, just ruined it for everyone. He was basically just as twice as good as any other keeper that played. But I think all of us over time, we contributed. Our job was basically to change momentum of the game and get runs when the top order very rarely failed for Australia.
Just looking at a photo I've had sent to me here, Hads, you've just been in India. Playing with who were you playing with, by the way? What was the tournament?
It's a very loose term, but it was Australian All Stars,
right?
So we played against Sri Lankan All Stars, Indian West Indies, South Africa, England. So we made the semis. India knocked us off in the semis to go to the final, but I think we just played the script perfectly. If I'm honest, JB, I don't think we were meant to make the finals, and India not.
Right.
But well, I thought the whole point of retiring from something meant that you could get fat and lazy and not have to still be fit. You must have to be fit to do that.
No, you just, we're all fat and lazy. It basically, we got paid, if I'm being completely honest, if we basically all got paid to go on a Bucks trip for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Brett Lee, Shane Watson, Cal Ferguson, Cam White, the Bear. I'm looking at a photo, though, of a man of the match from you. 58 from 37 rocks. But I'm seeing a little roof over the tool shed there, Hads. What's going on?
No, that's a shirt, JB. Oh. That's definitely a shirt.
It's no a puffy roof there. Shirt. Yeah. You need to use the filter there, Hads. Just saying, there is a little podge there in that photo.
No, that was, mate, I tell you what that was. Happened to bat half an hour and run between wickets. I was probably blowing, but... That's, you know, the shirts in India. If you're normally a large, you've got to normally a triple X. So whatever you do, get rid of that photo.
Were there, yes. Were there crowds?
Oh, only 30,000 at the first game.
30,000?
Yeah. Wow. The funniest thing about the whole tournament, and you'd know the great John Hastings, the Duke.
Yes, big haystacks.
Yeah. The funniest moment was in the first game I arrived against Bangladesh. He bowled a 20 ball over.
No.
Yeah. And... At start, you know, you're laughing and carrying on a bit, but he wasn't just missing leg. He wasn't just missing leg stump. He was missing offside pitch, leg side pitch.
No.
And we were laughing to start with, but then when it got to about 15 balls and he's looking around for support, there was 10 other blokes with their heads straight down and we gave him nothing.
Couldn't he just, like, off a couple of steps do a cross seamer or something?
He did all that. And then we And we thought the funniest thing would be, and he didn't really see the funny side in it, but we thought we have to give him another over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first three balls, he hit the block hole, which were outstanding.
Yep.
Then he said he went tingly in his hands, and it happened again, and he bowled a 13 ball over.
No way.
Oh, my God.
So 33 ball, two over spell.
Yep. But you know what? I think he did a really good job to get through his over. But if anyone in Melbourne knows the Duke, I've never seen a human drink as much. So he did the night before, Paul, to only bowl a 23 ball over, is unbelievably skillful.
Hey, stick around, Hads. We've got a World Cup to talk about, which starts very soon.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Two rights don't make a wrong.
No, they don't. So you're the only wrong one.
Brad Haddon joins us, by the way. Watch Australia versus England tonight and every T20 World Cup match live and exclusive on Fox Sports on KO.
Right, it starts soon, the World Cup. We've got a couple of warm-up fixtures to get through. England 2-0 up at the moment, Hads, in that series.
Yeah, they are. England, I think, are one of the favourites for the tournament. I thought when they came out here, they're actually lacking one quality bowler. You've got Wood there, but I think Sam Curran plays a really good role there. I like the team Australia put out, though, last game. I think we're building nicely for something this World Cup. And Tim David, I think he's going to be something special and definitely a match winner for us in this tournament.
Okay, so we come in as the World Cup champions and you think we're building okay. I was sort of feeling like it looked a little unsettled.
Yeah, I think the unsettledness comes from they've been tinkering a lot. I think we've seen the first few games against the West Indies and England, that they tried a lot of different things. And at times, we're probably all a bit shocked with what they were doing. They were playing Cameron Green in a couple of the games where he's not even in the squad, but I think he's just cover for Ashton Agar if he gets injured. But, yeah, I think they've just been tinkering. I think now the last game against England and especially the one against India, the practice game, we'll start to see more of a traditional Australian 2020 team.
Mm-hmm. And Finchie back at the top, got to open, doesn't he?
100%. That's where he's done all his best work. And there were signs in India, actually, that he really freed his game up and he took the bowling on. And I thought, this is the Aaron Finch we need in the World Cup. I'm just hoping, leading into this big event, it's his home soil here in Australia. And it'll be a perfect finale if he could play the World Cup finally in Melbourne. But I like to see him free up and just take those first six overs on.
Yeah.
Looked to me like he was getting a bit more stable at the crease, Hads. You know, in the last couple of years, he's been wandering around, the feet have been diving, head bobbing. He looked like he's getting nice and planted.
Yeah, that was a good thing. He had a good base. So I think, JB, with Finch, it's more about mindset. I just like to see him just take the game on. He's got nothing to lose. He's not playing white ball in the 50 over anymore. Just to take the game on, express himself. He's tactically been outstanding for a long time, but now it's just all about just enjoying this moment. The wickets will suit him up the top and just go really, really hard and take the game on.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about David Warner? Cricket Australia met today to discuss allowing him to return as potential captain.
I think he's done his time, if I'm being honest. And I think this has come about off the back of Aaron Finch's retirement. I think looking forward to the 50-over World Cup, it all looks good that if Paddy Cummins to captain, but later stages of a World Cup over in India, you might only play two fast bowlers, and all of a sudden you got Hazelwood, who's number one in the world. Stark, we know how it's good in that form of the game. So I think they need some leadership options leading into that World Cup.
Hey, I watched a bit of the West Indies-Australia T20 series. I know you're doing beautiful commentary, Hads, with Fox on that. And I know you also view this particular part of the game in a similar way to myself, and that is when it gets up around 150 Ks, you just stay nicely leg side of the ball, Hads. And yeah. Al-Zahri Joseph, my goodness, there's some decent heat attached to that.
Yeah, it was interesting watching Joseph warm up. You know those days where you walk into the commentary and you just see something different?
Yep.
And that's exactly what Joseph was. And I had the same theory as you, and I know Darren Lehman had the same. Once it gets over 145, it's really hard to hit a moving target.
Yes.
So move around as much as you need. Get to the other end. My old man always said you play 150 a lot better, Bradley, at the non-strikers.
No doubt about that.
But what about the poor bugger catching it?
Yeah, well, we've got the gloves on.
Yeah, I know, but still, I'd run.
Yeah, no, you know, you've got to look at that another way, the guy catching it. When you've got a guy on your team that bowls over 150 Ks, you can give a lot of cheek when you've got the gloves on.
Yeah, that's true.
Which you used to do.
I was very lucky. I had Tate, Lee, Johnston. So I had three guys going. So we were able to help the batsman out a lot. The style they should play to those guys who bowled 100.
I used to top flight up in the commentary box, just wind the stump mics right up with Hads, and then I'd see him on the ground the next morning and I'd go, righto, what was going on out there, please? Are you hearing that, he reckons? Of course I am. All right, so we're starting the World Cup soon. Australia, as Bridge said, defending champs. Who are the best teams in it?
I think Australia look a lot more settled than they did last World Cup where they won it. I think England will be hard to beat. I still think India are going to play, be there in the semi. And this last one, I actually can't believe I'm saying it. I think South Africa might make the semi-finals this time. Yeah, I think they've got a good middle order. Riley Russo makes a difference. Miller's coming to some form. Markham control the innings, I think, on these bigger grounds. But they're going to have some pace. They've got Rabada, Nocky, and I think that they can knock top orders over. So I think they might sneak into the top four as well.
All right. So make sure you're watching Australia-England tonight, by the way, on Fox Sports and KO. But every T20 World Cup match live. Hads, Mark Waugh, your favourite?
Yep. My favourite.
Your favourite.
He's my favourite war. I didn't say he was my favourite.
Full stop, just your favourite war.
Hads is my favourite wicket keeper.
Gilly, of course. I'll have the full compliment skull getting involved as well. And Hads, we've got you doing Triple M cricket this summer.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for the first two tests against the West Indies. I think they might be quick ones, so we'll have a couple of days to celebrate those ones, I think, at the end of it. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It was good fun last year, so look out.
That's how we like them. 2.5 days and then you're in the plane flying home. Well done, Hads. Can't wait to see you on KO and Fox Sports.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Old number twos.
Number two.
Not far away from replaying Bill's best ever joke. This is the Rush Hour. JB and Bridge Duclos.
Oh, now we've got the weekend review. Out of respect for Bridge.
You're getting teary.
Who's doing her best impersonation of Mick Gatto.
Are you?
You are. You got your full black stuff on and then the big gold bling.
It's called taste and style.
Oh, right.
Hey, are you getting teary about me leaving?
No.
You're teary.
Don't reckon.
I can see you're a bit emotional.
Don't reckon.
And it's going to be hard for you.
But you have been much better than I thought you'd be.
And that's as good a rap as I'll get.
You are a joy to work with.
It's been lovely, the Top Flight. Thank you for having me. And if Bill ever, gets exploited by a modelling agency,
to go to Fiji again,
or if the model agency want him, because after that photo, there's every chance.
Oh my God!
You know where to find me.
So. Here is the week in review. I haven't actually heard this. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's beautifully voiced by Rosie Walton.
Ah, the Hose Mary.
The Hose Mary.
Yes. Here we go.
With Billy Brownless away in Fiji, we rekindled one of Triple M's greatest on-air partnerships.
Yeah, well, they say you should never go back in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I am. I'm going back to working with the Top Flight.
Replacing fat shouldn't be too much of a challenge.
The Top Flight, when he rang and begged me to come on, did say it's a low base you're coming from.
But in some respects, it was like Bill never left, with some idiot file moments.
Nathan Ellis, Bridgie, I know you were very impressed by Ellis. Wow. How have you seen his introduction to the international arena?
I really think he's come in with a real bomb. I don't know what to say. Who is he?
There's a couple of miscommunications.
I'll wait for that. Plus, we speak to Tom Brown. AFL trade news.
But it wouldn't have been right to bring back a radio legend like Bridge without remembering the glory days.
We had a massage together once.
Oh, my God.
In Nunagoon.
That's still a nightmare of mine. We booked in and they in the same room.
In the
so
same
we had to
room.
Get our gear off and lie down next to each other and say, I've never... That actually haunts me.
Right. Were there any awkward moments?
So I'm lying there and the Top Flight had to spin over and she says to me, she, all I hear is this voice next to me going, you dare look at my boob. And I'm like, I've got my face down. You know your face is down in that little hole? I'm like, unless they're that saggy that I can see them through the hole.
Excuse me, I was deeply damaged by that ordeal.
Plus explaining why she's called the Top Flight.
Well, it's because you allowed your husband at the time to go on a photo shoot in the centre of Australia with topless models. And you said, that makes me a top flight missus.
No, you said you're a top flight missus. You were that thrilled with me because you couldn't believe that I was stupid enough.
That's good.
But thank you.
Very good.
Most
very much,
women
Megan.
Wouldn't do that. Let
yeah,
their
no, no. Well, as it turned out, it wasn't such a good idea.
Bridge is such a top flight missus, even people who aren't her husband are interested.
One of the funny things that ever happened to me was once I rang an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I might have been at the pub. Anyway, a car, this is early days before they often had their signs up and stuff.
Yep.
And a car rocked up and I went, oh, fabulous, opened the front door, in I got, and he said, I'm actually here to pick up my wife. However, you're better looking so you can stay.
No way.
But there must be something about working for the rush hour that turns you a little blue.
Another animal fact, which I did not know this, lobsters, they have bladders on either side of their head.
Right.
So they communicate by urinating on each other. So if you want another lobster to know they're happy or sad or angry or interested in a relationship, a lobster relationship, they say it with a P. Does that mean they're his hands?
Or even a lot blue.
Will that be appearing on your podcast, Don't Be a F-Wit?
Yes. I know it's a long time since you've done this job, but we can beat stuff out now. It's called Don't Be a F-Wit. That's the name of the podcast.
You
oh, no! I'm sure the Emily Seaborn needs to land. Bloody hell. Top line.
I'm so sorry about
what
that.
What the hell?
Oh, I don't
Jeez,
know.
What... Your mum, you don't want Shields hearing
no,
you.
No, Shields would be highly
She'd
offended.
She'd be horrified.
Hopefully she missed that bit. But thanks for playing it again. Very nice by Rosemary Walton.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been lovely.
Now,
thank you.
I'll tell you what we're doing to send you off. Mm. Because we've made you sit through four of Bill's worst ever jokes.
She laughed yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
I did.
Couldn't,
that
believe
was funny.
That.
Congestion.
Congestion. Well, yes.
Yeah, you laughed at him, though, not with him.
No, with him.
Well, this is, I think, undoubtedly the funniest one he's ever told, certainly according to the family. So that's coming up next.
Yes.
All right, so just stick around
Can't
here, the top
wait.
Five. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. He reminds me of myself. Good-looking young man is also tough.
JB and Bridge Duclos, who's filled in all week for Fiji Speedos Brownless.
Yeah, he's back Monday, sadly. Mm. I'm not looking forward to that.
I can't wait to hear.
Yes. The top flight. When I work around Australia, people come up to me all the time and go, what's wrong with Bill? And I go, mate, how long have you got? And they go, his jokes are horrific.
Yeah, they're not good.
But they always say, except for one.
One?
The brick joke.
Brick joke.
The brick joke is the only one everyone says I actually laughed at.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
So I don't think you've heard this.
No, we've got to go out in a high, don't
but
we?
But we're going out in a high after your amazing week of broadcasting. Yeah. So enjoy Fats Back Monday, the only decent joke he's ever told.
Jimmy Boy, three children named Feather, Droplet and Brick went to their mother to ask why they were named so. Oh, no. Feather went to his mother and said, Mother, why is my name Feather? Mother said, because when you were born, a feather fell on your forehead. Ah, oh, fair enough. Droplet went to his mother and asked, Mum, why is my name Droplet? Because when you were born, a water droplet fell on your forehead.
Yes.
Droplet's happy enough with that.
Yes. Oh.
When Droplet went away, Brick shuffled up to his mother and said,
Seriously.
That's terrible. Poor old Brick Jim.
Can you hear idiot raps? No. That's what actually makes it funny.
I lost it.
He started laughing before the joke even began.
As did Bill. Yeah. Poor old Brick.
He'd had a brick drop.
No,
you got it?
Yeah,
no, he was a newborn baby. That's why.
Anyway, on that cheery note, Top Flight, good to see you.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely worth a sand bun.
Thank you very much, Bridge.
Well done, Bridge.
Me. Thank you for having me.
Good work. Oh, my goodness.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Brought to you by PointsBet. Built different. Faster, easier, better. Download the PointsBet app today. Gamble responsibly.